licensed. And he deserves every chance to get his career rebooted. We'll reboot Hour 2 on this Wednesday. Starting to get excited about looking ahead to fairgrounds. We'll start to dive into that tomorrow. Back after this, Sid.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, hour two, and Sid Fernando always tells us something good when we enjoy Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Sid, we got to start, actually. I went into the break. I don't know if you were listening, but I had those those two stories from South Korea. Saddened by Boys at Tuscanova's passing at 14, and Ecton Park, who was 26, and I didn't realize he got to South Korea as early as he did, but he made a big impact.
Yeah, I heard that. I hadn't seen it that he died, but you know, he lived quite a long time, didn't he?
Well, and I guess they had him in service quite late. Because it doesn't refer to him as being pensioned by the time he passed. But I still see, you'll still see mayors. I see Ecton Park occasionally, particularly Maryland types. I see him turn up as the broodmare sire still.
Yeah,
plenty.
Yeah. I mean, a good horse, and, he won the Super Derby. It's a grade one race, and he's by 49er. I mean, he had a terrific pedigree. He was out of the Danzig mare.
I'm just noticing, actually, in the story, in the press release, about Boys at Tuscanova, too, between Ecton Park and Boys at Tuscanova, and then throughout the calendar year 2022, Girolamo, Euro Silver, Winchester, and Dortmund all died in Korea in 2022.
Wow!
How about that?
Yeah,
that is a bad. It's a variety of ages. Euro Silver had to be 20 something, but Winchester, Dortmund, and Girolamo much younger. And Algorithms, who's down in Uruguay.
He died too?
No, he didn't. He didn't die. He was actually the interesting last year's leading sire is Algorithm, stands in Uruguay, but his runners earned 1.15 billion Korean, 900,000. U.S. dollars, and that was the leading stallion race day. Also, who does stand these days in Korea, and of course left New York.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's the sire of White Abario,
who seems, I'll tell you, we'll start talking obviously. Next week, but with Pegasus, but White Abario coming into the Pegasus quite well,
what
I can tell. Yeah, if you're watching the work notes and some of the video. So, all right, couple of passings that I thought I would save and bring up for you. And Sid, we promised last week that we were going to catch up on some of the early season three-year-olds that have been winning. And so let's do some of that. And we also I'm going to look ahead and throw some of the LeCompte horses at you as well for Saturday at Fairgrounds. But here, let's, I guess we should probably go back to, let's go back. Should have had this, where I had to, my problem is always that there's too many PPs stacked up here.
Reincarnate.
Yeah. Start with Reincarnate. All right. I was going to go, all right. Yeah, let's do that. We'll work backwards chronologically. Start with Reincarnate. Good. Kind of an easy fix.
Yet another States winner for Good Magic, who's got four horses on the Triple Crown Trail. Headed by the Grade One winner, Blazing Sevens.
This winner, because we did talk to Jack Wolf, and see, of the three horses they're involved in, said that it was certainly the least anticipated of the three, in terms of expectations anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's a obviously he wasn't as highly thought of from the beginning, because he made his debut very odd for Bob Baffert in a turf race, right? Yeah, 1 mile on the turf was his debut, and he lost that by a neck. Then he came back in another turf race, 1 mile on the turf at Santa Anita, was second that time. So, you know, Bob Baffert is not in the habit of, you know, running his classic horses, potential classic prospects on turf straight off the top. But he's got so many three-year-olds, including so many for this ownership group, that, you know, I suppose he wasn't showing the speed on dirt against these other horses when he works them against each other, and that's what happened. Then in his third start, Baffert switched him to a mile and a 16th on the dirt, and he ran second to his stablemate Fort Bragg. So so 3 seconds in a row. Then he came back. He won that maiden at Del Mar. So the first two times were at a mile and a 16th. Then a mile again. He came back and he won that race. So his fourth start, he broke his maiden. He had two dirt starts at that point in him. And then, he goes in the sham. And, you know, 16-1 and beats two more highly regarded Baffert's, also owned by, you know, same group, obviously. So, that's a pretty interesting path for him. Now, he was a expensive yearling, first crop yearling, $775,000. That's stiff for good magic in his first crop. And he's out of a scat daddy mare, who was, minor stakes winner. And, she'd had seven foals and before him, really nothing. So he must have really been a physical standout, Steve. The second dam is by Holy Bull. And the third dam is by Star Choice. There is something about Holy Bull with Scat Daddy and Holy Bull with Curling. Of course, Good Magic is the son of Curling. That is, it's when you look at his pedigree, Scat Daddy has a really strong relationship with Holy Bull, and then Holy Bull has a really strong relationship with Curling. So it was very, it was a good mating by, Woods Edge Farm. And obviously a terrific physical. So, that kind of worked out here.
And actually, as you mentioned, the Scat Daddy mare, Alana, and the fact that, that you've got the Smart Strike, Curling, Good Magic line involved, there was plenty of reason, really, to consider him as a potential turf horse, and it's not as if those two efforts were not solid. And you know, if for some reason he didn't pan out long term on the main track, he certainly has got at least a pedigree that's got enough turf in it between, you know, the Scat Daddy mare and I mean, obviously Curlin's aptitudes fit on that front. But this, you know, that for all the obvious reasons, you know, this is an important win for him to break through. And you know, I know everybody wrings their hands and goes berserk when any Baffert other than the short fight priced favorite wins. But you know, are we going to really act surprised when any of these? I mean, Newgate was 850,000, National Treasure 500,000, and Reincarnate 775,000. So just yeah. You know, I mean, the horse got ignored on the board. But you know, it's funny because I thought Newgate was the one to fear if it wasn't going to be National Treasure, and Andy Harrington's note on Reincarnate was that he felt that this one was still not mature yet, and so I kind of laid off on that front. And he was game. He would not. I said this to Jack Wolf. I mean, he was not letting Newgate past him.
Yeah, no, he was really great. I think just to touch back on what I mentioned about Curlin and Holy Bull. You know, Curlin has two Grade One winners. Connect is out of a Holy Bull mare, and Obligatory is by Curlin out of a Macho Uno mare. And, you know, both of those were really good dirt horses. Curlin's forte is the dirt. And, you know, Good Magic was obviously a champion two-year-old on dirt. I just think it's odd this horse made his debut on turf. Baffert really doesn't do that. And at a distance as well, you know.
Yeah, the miles.
Around the first time out. I don't know what his workouts were back then, Steve, but I have to think he wasn't working as well with, you know, these other horses. He's got a whole stack of them. But I think that this horse is coming into his own right now. And, you know, your note about the maturity is probably right on. Obviously, you know, as you pointed out, with the price, he was a outstanding physical. And so I think it's a case here where this horse is really starting to develop and mature.
You know, and Sid, this is not something that occurred to me until looking down at these PPs. However, the four, and of course, Speedboat Beach is going to end up in the San Vicente going 7/8, which makes a lot of sense. The interesting element of this, I mean, we're mid-January, and this race was on, this was the 8th. Newgate was making start 5, National Treasure start 4. Speedboat Beach would have been making start 5, and Reincarnate making start 5. That not that it flies in the face of what we're used to per se, but you know, one of the storylines has been, you know, Baffert does like to get the hopeful 3-year-olds. He does like to get that. I mean, justified notwithstanding, he does like to get a 2-year-old start in them before the calendar turns. But these are deep resumes at this time of the year already, 4 or 5 starts.
Yeah. You know, I think part of the reason for that is, first off, he's got a ton of 2-year-olds from last year turning 3, if you look at National Treasure, I mean, he won that race, but who does he go into in his next start? And that's the American Pharoah Grade One. He goes in, goes up against Cave Rock, runs second. But look who's third. Hijazi's third and Gandolfini is fourth. You know, he's got so many horses right now that he's got to run them against each other. The better profile of a Baffert horse is a horse like Cave Rock. What does he have, like three starts or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Cave Rock, you know, with Baffert, what you usually have is, when you look at him, you know, they win. Well, actually, he's got four starts. But, you know, Cave Rock is a typical horse. You know, he'll win the maiden special, go into that grade one, win that, and then win another grade one and be the champion two-year-old. You know, sort of like Corniche was a few years ago, three starts, and he was the champion, right? In this case, he's got a lot of horses. They seem to be ready a little earlier, like you pointed out. And when he runs one, like the one I just mentioned, against Cave Rock, and he runs second, well, then, he's got to run him back in another race. Because these guys, you know, they want to get grade one wins in the tank. This year particularly, he's got some good horses, not only for the Avengers guys, but his long-term guys, the Three Amigos, they've come up with some really good horses too. So you got those two ownership groups going against each other. And then you got, the other guy, Michael Lund Peterson, is it?
Yep.
Is it Peterson?
Sure.
He's got some good ones. Basically, it seems like Baffert's, you know, those three owners right there alone have a lot of horses, and some had to be the more early maturing horses were sent into these maiden races right away. I mean, think about Hijazi, who just won last weekend. That was his fourth start, and he breaks his maiden. You don't see many high-level Baffert horses, especially a $3.5 million yearling like that, take four starts to win the maiden. But between that, he'd been running in a grade one race as well. And by the way, another interesting thing about Hijazi, you know, look at Reincarnate. He's making his debut at a mile on turf, right? Hijazi, fourth start, and he's yet to leave the sprint division, even though he's a Bernardini. It looks like Hijazi has some distance limitations. It's an interesting situation. And his most typical type of horse, if you want to talk about it, that we're more used to is Arabian Knight. The one big win, like you say, maiden win, and that was at Keeneland, right? He's yet to start now. He'll have maybe two starts before the Derby, if he's going to go that way. And that's the typical Baffert horse these days.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Hijazi, and of course the Bromans, who I laughingly say this now regularly about, for an outfit that was supposedly winding down, they seem to be gearing up. It's kind of funny, but you mentioned the distance question and the inclination to stretch him back out. But talk about his page for a minute. Bernardini out of the Medaglia d'Oro Mare G-Note.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would think right away he's by Bernardini that it's, you know, obviously, Bernardino was a classic winner and stayed well by AP Indy. And G-Note is out of Mare Medallic by Medaglia d'Oro. And the second dam is by Seeking the Gold.
The wonderful.
Third dam is going to Spend a Buck. It's the family of Anti-Spend.
Mm-hmm.
But who's the second? Who's the third dam here? For the, you know, Broman's breeding all the way there. But it's very interesting to note that, you know, he had all that speed. He had that 100 buyer or something when he lost early. And then they did stretch him out in the, was it the American Pharaoh, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, it was in American Pharaoh, and he ran third, right?
Yes.
Behind
Cave Rock and National Treasure, who was a surprise there, yeah, that kind of stepped up.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it seems like, he brought him back in a sprint again, you know? So I don't know. I have no idea, but, you know, especially if you contrast the two of them, Hijazi with Reincarnate. Hijazi was early, showed a lot of speed, and now is kind of being repurposed in a way. And Reincarnate was kind of put on the back burner with so many, maidens in his barn. He was actually put on the turf. And I really want to emphasize that because that's so unusual for Bob Baffert to put a colt on turf for his maiden. Especially when, that's seemingly bred for dirt. And but that horse has kept developing at maturity. He's coming up. He's coming around. Hijazi, it's going to be really interesting to see where to place him. He's got too many good horses out there. And he's inevitably going to have to run them against each other out there, unless he starts to, ship into some of these other races. So he's got, all the high draft picks, and Hijazi would be at the top as a $3.55 million two-year-old. But and actually, Arabian Knight was pretty damn expensive, too. I can't remember off the top of my head. The Uncle Mo, let me just see what he was.
He was one point. One point something.
Yeah. So my understanding of Arabian Knight, though, is that, he's really considered the ace. He was $2.3 million.
Okay. The Arabian Lion. There's also Arabian. Yeah, you need a program to keep track of this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Imagine this, that Baffert's got, just for Zidane alone, he's got Hijazi at $3.55 million and Arabian Knight at $2.3 million. And then the horse that you mentioned, Arabian Lion, the Justify, who had a bruised foot when he ran bad in that race as the favorite. That colt was, would you say 700,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite a lot of money just in those three horses alone, isn't it?
That's
600,000. So you got $3.55 million, $2.3 million, and $600,000 just in those three for Zidane.
And then
he's got a couple of Curlins, too, that are running well this year, including that Colt Faustin, right, for Juan Peterson. And Faustin, by Curlin out of Hard Spun Mare, he's one for one. He cost $800,000. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is. The proverbial embarrassment of riches.
And then you have Cave Rock, who is the cheapest at a as a 500,000 yearling.
That's right. We talked about those with when I talked to Mike Pegram back last year, and I'm just pulling up
550,000 yearling.
Here we go. I'm pulling up the formulator because there's horses yet that I going back to Reincarnate back to Hijazi for a second, horse that nobody really even paid any attention to, given Hijazi's price tag and you know the quality of the performance, because he was being pressed in real splits. Was the runner up that Worcester that was second in here in, I think that was his second career start. It was. He got a 94 buyer running second in here.
Yeah. And Worcester is owned by the other group.
Yep.
The Avenger group.
Yep. He's an empire, and he's an empire maker out of a Super Saver mare. He's got every reason. And this was actually a bargain. This was a $180,000 purchase by comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So keep an eye on Worcester in here coming out of this race because he's not far off. Expect him to break a maiden or even show up in a stake at this point for a third career start.
Yeah. Well, and was what, fourth the first time out?
He was fourth in Faustin's debut win.
Yeah, and that just goes back to what we were talking about. He's got so many, you know, a horse like Worcester would be the top horse in most guys' barns as a potential three-year-old, but he goes up in that maiden special with Faustin and runs fourth, right? But Baffert also ran second in that race with Sonoran, and that's owned by Baffert and his wife.
I'm trying to make a note of any other, I mean, how many more of these can there possibly be?
I know. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. And Sonoran, by the way, is that ride on Curlin that's owned by Natalie Baffert. So Sonoran ran second in that race to Faustin, in which Worcester was fourth. Sonoran, get this, he's by Ride on Curlin, but he was a $230,000 yearling. By Ride on Curlin out of Awesome Sunrise by Awesome Again. So, it is something.
Faustin, an 89 buyer for Faustin, and in that win of his, we'll see about Arabian Lion regrouping out of the Los Al disappointment. This is, of course, the Justify that won at First Asking. Who else is lurking? Here's a twirling candy that I haven't even seen mentioned. Gilmore.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him too, yeah.
Broke his maiden at Los Al.
Yeah. Yeah, Gilmore, he's one for two, and he was one of their cheaper ones for the Avengers, $250,000. Now, he won his maiden December 10th, and if you go back in and look at that race, I think there was another one for that group in there too, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not. No, that was one of the few races I've seen where it was just Bob Baffert in the race. He was a heavy favorite, and he won off by four lengths.
There's another on the comeback or two, having a meltdown. The one, the Bob Hope in November well. That's a Pegram Watson Whiteman.
And then don't forget the Uncle Mo Massimo.
Massimo. Yep. That's right. He broke his maiden in November.
And actually, he beat Gilmore in the first time. See?
Yep. That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just running against each other right now.
Well, and that, you know, there's a big, you know, that creates, such consternation over it, too.
Yeah, Massimo was a $575,000 yearling by Uncle Mo. Yeah, it does create a lot of consternation. Excuse me. And it explains in some way why so many of the Baffords have to run more than usual, because they're running into their stablemates and maidens.
It's a great point. That's a great point, actually. Yeah, you're right. That's a great point. Here's a justify, too, that again, I mean, there's some that just have not been seen, and this horse has not worked back, was a runner-up in the debut, that Elwood Blues, the justify out of the Archmare, another Pegram Watson Whiteman.
He's for the other group, the Three Amigos, isn't he?
Yes, he was a $380,000 purchase, but he was second in his debut, and he's not on the work tab, so he's clearly sidelined, which is too bad. He was second behind Arabian Lion, and there's another example.
Yeah, there's another example. By the way, the other part of this is that, you know, the Baffert horses, not only are they running against each other on in races, but frequently, you know, they're workmates with other horses, too. So these horses, they're expensive horses, and it's a matter of attrition, surviving the attrition against some of the best and most expensive horses out there. What ends up happening is the survivors get terrifically seasoned, even though they have few starts to show for it, because they're working against stakes quality types every day. It's not like some guy, you know, at Gulfstream working his horse. The Baffert program is, fellas, you're going to work against each other, and we're going to see where you stack up. Then you're going to race against each other. So in some ways, there's some wear and tear on these horses, and perhaps, you know, Elwood Blues is feeling the effects of this, because he just got, you know, he ran a huge winning race, except he ran into Arabian Lion.
Well, and I got to say, this is a question for Baffert, and, you know, for Gary Young next time we talk to him. You do have to worry at a certain point, and it's something we've discussed with trainers that have got big barns about the pairing of their trainees, and this is like the inadvertent lesson that is taught in the movie Seabiscuit about, you know, turning what is a good horse into a punching bag. In fact, it's evident in Far Lap as well, where, you know, you got to be careful about, you know, pairing a horse up too often against a horse that he can't beat, and it disheartens them. They've got, you know, I know it's the size of a lemon up there in that cranium, but they've got feelings. You don't want to get beaten to too often. You convince a horse that they can't win. So
But there's the physical part too, where they got to run hard.
Yep.
In these workouts.
Exactly.
And some of them can't take it. You know.
Yep.
This is a program, you know, that. I was on Going in Circles podcast with Barry and Chuck on Monday, and we kind of talked about this a bit, which is, you know, D-Wayne Lucas kind of started this, where, you know, you got a huge stable, and you work these horses against each other, and the top dog survived, right? And here it's very, very evident, because Baffert's barn is colt heavy, with colts intended for the Triple Crown. And as we just went over, there are some of the most expensive two-year-olds that have been handpicked from the two-year-old sales, and some of the most, you know, some very expensive yearlings. And so they're very high-level stock to begin with. And obviously to pass their test, they have to be physically right there. They have to be great physical fits. These aren't horses like when Gary and Mary West were sending homebreds there. You know, homebreds are whatever you get, that's it. Whatever you bred, you're not picking the best physicals out of a sale. Sales buyers get to choose the best physicals, you know. And these guys, the Avengers and Donato, who's at the, with them, and a bunch of other guys in that group, you know, they're experts at really picking great-looking horses. So you got these great-looking horses, frequently by some of the best sires, and you put them in this program, and, you know, there's wear and tear. I mean, when we think of Justify with only six starts, that's just what the record shows for his official starts. Before he got to that point, he had a lot of work in the Baffert program. I guarantee you, against some of the best of that year. You know, the same thing any year really with Baffert. You know, the year with Life is Good and Medina Spirit. Look, Life is Good at that time was the ace in the stable, but it was Medina Spirit that withstood the rigors of that and ended up winning the Derby. You know, that's part of what the understanding is with these guys. That, you know, they buy 15 horses or whatever, top colts. They know they're going to compete against each other, but they know that that program is going to give them a hardened horse. Despite limited starts, that horse is more experienced and probably, you know, gives them the best chance to try to win, you know. Look at the case with Authentic in his year as well. You know, he was below some of the other early Baffert horses, and he's the one that, you know, came on to win the Derby. And he, you know, he had that seasoning in him, and that's part of this type of program.
Well, and you bring, you know, boy, there's so many parts of this that are germane, and for those that can read between the lines, you can understand why there's the kind of wear and tear that Sid's referring to on these horses, because it's Baffert's tendency to also work these horses out longer distances than anybody else does these days. I mean, if there's a published 5/8 work, in reality, the horse worked more like 7/8 and galloped out a mile and a 16th.
Absolutely.
Nobody. I mean, you know, it is interesting to some degree over the recent past, because I've brought this up with Doug O'Neill. I've brought it up with Sadler, and they all will tell you. I think Mandela even too has said that they, you know, they've taken a clue and they, you know, they're asking more. And you know, for those that want to insist on you know, certain storyline, I have at it. But I mean, if you're out there watching it and you see, you know, what these horses are asked to do, to be ready for a mile and a quarter, in particular, yeah. It's self-explanatory. It's in fact, Sid, I meant to send you. There's a terrific piece in yesterday in Atlantic about conspiratorial thinking and how, you know, and why it takes root and what kind of mindset is, you know, most susceptible to it. It can be readily applied to this sport as well.
Very, very true. And, you know, Steve, when you sit back, you know, and change the focus to say a top level college baseball program, okay, Vanderbilt or whatever. What these guys do is they recruit for one position, say shortstop, four of the best guys out there, four or five of the best guys, plus another, whatever, seven guys, highly rated shortstops from high school, and they let them slug it out to get one guy, you know. And so, and then another guy's got to change position to second, and say another has to go to third. But, you know, that's the thinking here. It's what D. Wayne Lucas did. It's what Baffert does. You get all your high recruits, and you put them out there, and you see where the dust settles, right? It's occasionally Baffert will have a horse that's so good, and maybe he thinks, I got to go a little easier on this horse to hold them together. And that's a horse like Arabian Knight, who's had the one start, and he's really not working that horse fast. He knows he's got speed. And he's a rare case maybe of Baffert using some kid gloves on one of his high recruits. But for the most part, if they can take it, they're out there, and they got to prove it. And that's what Medina Spirit did. He was a cheap horse. And, you know, he was, if you look at Medina Spirit, unlike the normal Baffert horses, he was running him a lot early because he was a cheaper horse. And he kind of just earned his position, you know. Let's see. Look at Medina Spirit. One, two, three, four, five. Well, actually, he had five starts before the Derby, so not too much. But, I mean, he did run him pretty often. Twice in January, the Sham and the Robert B. Lewis. Twice in March and April, you know. He kept them going, and he kept them going in some of the heavy heads until Life Is Good went to the sidelines, and he was left standing. That is really how it occurs, and you should understand that part, even if you're going to try to criticize Baffert and bring in some kind of, you know, the stuff guys do. You should at the same time acknowledge that this program is extremely geared for high-level recruits to go through the grinder to get to the Derby.
And that's, you know, basically answering the request and the direction and the need of the clients. And they
do that because you get a horse like Authentic, you know, $36 million. Justify, $75 million. You hit some of those. And, you know, even a horse that doesn't get to the Triple Crown like Eight Rings and Empire Maker they had, won a grade one at two, and off that alone was sold to Coolmore for, you know, like $10 million. And he didn't pan out. He's in stud in California, not at Coolmore Ashford. But for the guys that sold it, it was a $10 million score. And that was the Avengers. So, you know, when they understand when you get that type of horse ahead of the Triple Crown, you have a big chance to maximize profits.
Or at the very least, cover losses on other attempts. When you're spending like as free spending as they are, you need to offset that at certain points. You can't keep the spigot opening. Well, on that topic, Sid, let me before we adjourn, let's look ahead to Saturday, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, 14th race at beautiful Fairgrounds. the LeCompte, the Grade 3, the road to the Louisiana Derby. Looking forward to being there for Risen Star. And this is a very nice start to this sequence. And, of course, they changed the distances, and it helped seemingly is helping produce and making the road to the classics that much more viable for the horses starting at Fairgrounds. Epicenter, of course, who feels like the presumptive three-year-old champion. The group here said, jump wherever you want. You know, Echo again, obviously, the gun runner for Winchell and Asmussen. Kenny McPeak shows up with another gun runner, Dennington, coming off the Smarty Jones try. And that's a race that, because of victory formation, feels like it should be watched. Bromley and Paulo Lobo and Oxo with two horses in here, both Bromley and Itzos. Bromley by Mastery and the Rachel Alexandra little brother, Itzos. Confidence Game, a candy ride for Keith DeSormo and the Don't Tell My Wife people. The Tappet for Brad Cox and Bob LaPenta and Bob Edwards, Tappet's Conquest. Instant Coffee for Al Gold, another Bolt Doro in here. So two Bolt Doros and two Gun Runners. Instant Coffee for Brad Cox. So this is a Sagamore bred colt. And then two Phils. Who feels interesting, a hard spun out of a General Quarters mare that the ever dangerous Larry Ravelli sends. That's a nice set for the LeCompte.
Good set to start off with. And, you know, Brad Cox, by the way, speaking of what we were just speaking, he's entering that zone with even more horses that Baffert has. They're not the extreme high-priced draft picks, but they're high-round draft picks. If Baffert's starting with, you know, all these first rounders, say, to use an MLB draft analogy, Cox is building up his resume where he's getting a lot of third, fourth, fifth round picks, good picks. He's, you know, he's like five deep in every maiden race or race for colts in the Midwest. And one of the colts he had, obviously, for one of our clients, Alba Family Trust, Jason's Road, won that. Won that race a few weeks ago. Jason's Road came out of the Iroquois Grade 3 at Churchill Downs. Jason's Road was third in that race to Curly Jack, another, you know, good magic. But down the field in seventh was Echo Again. Now, Echo Again came out of the Iroquois and then they sent him to the Springboard Mile where he was third. And, you know, he had a lot of speed in that race and kind of just got tired. But I'll tell you what, you know, he's again part of another group, which is obviously a single owner here. And that is, Winchell. They've got a lot of good horses, I think, ready to unveil soon. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Echo Again, who ran in the Remington in the Springboard Mile. It's one of the few horses that didn't run on Lasix. I wouldn't be surprised to see, he was the favorite in that race, and or maybe the second choice, ran second. He was second behind the other Brad Cox horse, which was Giant Mischief. Now, if you remember Giant Mischief, he's the horse that beat Arabian Lion in that really big race, you know, the big anticipated race at Keeneland on Breeders' Cup Day. They opened up on the field, and Giant Mischief beat Arabian Lion in a photo. Well, Giant Mischief, the heavy favorite in the Springboard Mile, was second, and Echo Again was third. I think Brad Cox in stable really knows how to place horses. I think he's placing this horse, and he's a gun runner. I think he's going to improve, and he's the horse I like in this race, Echo Again.
I was there for the springboard, and feels like they went right on with him, and he's going to have to. You know, one thing that I just noticed, actually, I hadn't even I printed this, you know, on Saturday night when it came out. There's not a lot of speed in here. I suppose
this horse has speed.
Yeah, well, exactly, and
Aspen's horse, yeah.
Yeah, and from the rail, it's also interesting that Gaffleone comes in to ride. I don't know how many other. I wonder if, let me see how many other mounts that he might have in here, because that's an interesting assignment that Tyler lands here. Looking ahead to Saturday, here we go, and. Oh my God, he's on business model for Brendan Walsh in the Louisiana, and it looks like he's got one in the Kenner. In fact, he's double named in the Kenner, but one is he's got in the Bradley. Brendan Walsh has got the business model the double entered in both the Louisiana and the Bradley, so depending on the turf situation, and but it feels to some extent like he's there to ride for Asmussen.
Yeah, I mean, this Colt Echo again, I think he broke his maiden at Saratoga.
He did. He absolutely.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive.
That's right. The 94 buyer, and and then the immediate stretch out in the Iroquois, and that, of course, I was there for that. I presented the trophy for that. That was that was the Curly Jack upset, and you had Michelle.
And Echo again was the heavy favorite in that race.
He was well, and then Michelle Lovell had her colt that was the second choice, and basically, you know, the whole thing collapsed. And here came Curly Jack. And of course, Jace's Road was third in that race. Speaking of, you mentioned Jace's Road earlier.
Yeah. I think that the form with Brad Cox's Jace's Road, he placed him well. Jace's Road came back and won that race by 5 lengths or something really impressively. I think Asmussen's Echo again was behind him in that race, you know, the Iroquois. Came back and ran a real big race against Cox's Giant Mischief, who was a heavy favorite in the Springboard Mile. Now, Giant Mischief and American Lion, you know, that race at Keeneland was really something. However, both colts came back and lost their next starts. Giant Mischief in the Springboard Mile and American Lion to that practical move in the LaSalle race, right? LaSalle Futurity. You can see why they took a lot out of each other at Keeneland. So I think that, you know, Giant Mischief is very highly regarded by Cox. And Echo again was, you know, just a few lengths behind him in the Springboard Mile. And I think Asmussen, I think they're, you know, they took, you know, once again, they've taken Ricardo Santana off. We got that love hate recent relationship.
But he's riding for them at, he's riding for the house at, Oakland.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. They had taken him off for a while. But
there was a little, yeah, there was a little bit of a, yeah. There was a little bit of a hiccup, but he's got a hat full of mounts. In fact,
That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah,
he's called Echo again. He's by Gunrunner out of a Tappet mare, typical Winchell breeding. It's a great breeding. It's meant to, you know, really improve at three this year. And so, as we started this conversation with Reincarnate, kind of maturing into what he became. I think I'm going to end this by saying I think Echo again is on that upswing.
Well, first big test of the year at Fairgrounds.
By the way, Steve, real quick, if you look at his workouts, you see, I mean, you could tell Asmussen's, you know, what he's got in mind. Every workout is super slow with this colt because he's got so much speed, right? So his last two works at the fairgrounds, he won 5 furlongs in 101.4, which was, you know, 14 of 34 that day. Came back with a half mile in 49.6, 6 of 7. You know, he knows his horse's speed. He's just trying to get this horse, you know, relaxed and ready to fire, too.
Echo again. And the LeCompte, as we get going. And, of course, they basically had a similar scenario with Epicenter last year.
We watched
with interest as they tinkered around with his style, and it ended up... you know, there were some ups and downs, but it ended up paying off ultimately. So there's also been, for those of you that haven't seen it, depending on how much interneting you do, they showed Epicenter, who is moving beautifully and seems 100%. And brought this up with DJ Fisk having sent out the picture of the knitted fracture and how good he looks so as he gets ready, because that it's demanding, physically demanding to cover mares. But we're just 4 weeks away, and that's a perfect segue into Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111, 510-490-1111. Get a hold of Sid and Roger, and they will compatibility analyze your mares. And Sid is... got his finger on the pulse with all the farms, and will help you make your plans and improve your prospects as a, whether you're a commercial breeder or breeding to race. Nobody's better equipped to help you make your decisions than Work
Thoroughbred. I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks.
Not at all. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sid, we will talk to you from Florida on Wednesday next week.
Yeah, and I'll actually see you next week.
Yes,
and I'm going to go to the Pegasus.
Outstanding. All right, we will see you then, we'll talk to you before then. Sid Fernando, everybody, and Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and another terrific weekend as we talked about the Good Magic Son reincarnate for the team at Hill and Dale. Let's take our top of the hour break. We're actually almost 10 minutes in. Seth Merrow standing by. I want to do some handicapping because I printed up plenty of action for Gulfstream and Tampa. So we will rely on the face of Capital OTB, the goatee of OTB, Seth Merrow. He's going to join us next. And... what else? I was hoping to get. I'd like to get a lick in on these. On this sequence at Turfway, as well. Where did I put it? There it is. Okay. Yeah. So I will. We'll see about Scott Shapiro. Just arrived in New Orleans, so he's a little out of pocket, so no Shap, but maybe James. All right, take a time out, come right back. We've got about 45 minutes to spend on this Wednesday at the races, Sirius XM.